welcome to Warming the Bench with Andy and Joel. Glad to be back with you for our second podcast. Today we're going to be reviewing the Florida State-Clemson game from this past Saturday. Going to preview the upcoming North Carolina game, talk a little Clemson football with you. Glad to be with you, Joel.
How's it going, man? I'm doing good. It's been a good week, other than the Florida State game. I feel like it's been a good week, so yeah, glad to be here again.
Well, as everybody knows, the Clemson-Florida State game sure was a heartbreaker for us Tiger fans. We really had a strong chance to win it going into the closing minutes of the game, and due to a lot of mistakes, Clemson lost by seven, well, six there, and just tons of mistakes. I feel like Clemson probably could have won that game by two or three touchdowns had we really
capitalized. Yeah, we were in the red zone so many times. If we would have just capitalized on one of those red zone trips, if Leggett would have caught a pass, if Dabo would have challenged that C.J. Davison carry, we'd have won the game.
Well, real disappointed. You know, just thinking on the last maybe 10 years, this is probably the toughest loss that I've ever experienced as a Clemson fan. Only thing I can really think of in comparison would be 2010 Clemson-Auburn game.
Yeah.
In Auburn at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Clemson had a chance to win it with a field goal there at the end. There was a penalty on the first made field goal. Had to re-kick, and we missed the second one.
Yeah. But so a penalty or a timeout?
I'm not sure which one it was. But
yeah, there was a re-kick, yeah. Chandler Catanzaro made the first kick, missed the second kick. It broke my heart, man. I remember that. That was feels like forever ago, but now you're making me feel like it was yesterday. Gosh, man.
Well, this Florida State game is sure fresh on the mind, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. And talking about our keys to the game last week, one thing that we mentioned, one is that Clemson obviously had to win the turnover battle, and that happened. Clemson was plus one in the turnover margin. Yeah. Florida State had two interceptions. Clemson had one fumble. Yeah. But that fumble was really key down the stretch. I mean, had Clemson scored right there, the game would have been over, essentially. I mean, even if Clemson would have got a field goal there, it was inside the 20.
That's asking a lot sometimes, man.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute also. So Clemson won the turnover battle. And another thing we talked about was Clemson would have to establish a run game. Let's talk about that a little bit.
I was impressed with the fact that C.J. Davison got the start. I like that a lot. But overall, we didn't really run the football all that much. We had 40 carries for 101 yards. It seems like a lot, but when you break it down, C.J. Davison only had 54 yards rushing. Deshaun had 30. We did not establish a well-run game, in my opinion. We did not establish the run game.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit, Joel. I think that in comparison to the Georgia game, Clemson really did establish a run game. C.J. Davison had about 4.3 yards a carry, which is pretty good. Cole Stout was able there early to get a decent run game. He had four carries for about 25 yards. And I remember one being on third down, critical run. He got 10-plus yards to get the first. Mm-hmm. But I think Clemson did establish a decent run game. I think it opened up some things in the past game for the Tigers. But I don't think that – well, in this game, Clemson was dominant. Florida State had 13 total yards. Or actually had 66 total pass yards, which, doesn't compare to Clemson's 100. But
they had 13 total rush yards at the end of the game.
Right, yeah, counting the negatives with all the sacks. Clemson had five sacks, which accounted for several negative yards. But – I think Clemson didn't necessarily establish a strong run game, but I feel like they did certainly dominate Florida State in that category. And in any offensive category, basically besides pass yards, and Florida State got a big chunk on that Rashad Green touchdown pass from Sean McGuire, in which McKenzie Alexander, tripped up and fell down. So I think Clemson's defense really dominated the game, and they put Clemson in the position to win the game.
Multiple times. Just two interceptions, those big stands, those stopping them on third down. I mean, Florida State just could not get the ball moving. They could not get any kind of momentum. They were kept 4 for 15 on third down, which I think is outstanding. If you told me before the game that we were going to go to Tallahassee and Florida State was going to be 4 for 15 on third down, I'd tell you we'd have won the football game.
Oh, I agree with you, absolutely. And, you know, one statistic that I think is telling is the fact that Rashad Greene had 9 catches for 135 yards. Nick O'Leary, the tight end, had 6 catches for 77 yards. And Jesus Wilson had 4 catches for 57 yards. You know, those three players really established themselves in the game as the go-to receivers for Sean McGuire. And on the other hand, Clemson had almost 10 people with the reception.
Yeah.
I mean,
when Deshaun first came in there, what was it, like 4 guys he threw the ball around to? Deshaun did a good job of distributing the ball around all throughout the game.
Yeah, Mike Williams, Jermon Hopper, Adam Choice, Artavis Scott, Sharon Peake, Humphrey, Seckinger, Leggett, McCullough. I mean, the list goes on.
Naming every receiver on the team, man.
And they all had significant contributions in the game. But, Joel, when I look back at the game and I think about it, and I've had a few days, and if you ask me, what's the one thing that lost the game for Clemson? Hands down, the field goal kicking. This has been, you know, as Clemson fans, as lifelong Clemson fans, this has been something that we've dealt with in the past. And I think we really undervalued the importance of Chandler Catanzaro the last few years at Clemson. I mean, we didn't have to worry about field goal kicking. We knew that if the kick was to be made, that the Catman was going to make it. I mean, he's perfect in the NFL. Made a 51-yarder yesterday. I mean, he's just been excellent. And, you know, Amon LeKipp, I feel bad for the guy. But you know what? He's had his chances. He had chances in the Georgia game. He's had several chances in the Florida State game. He kind of redeemed himself in the South Carolina State game. But, you know, there was no pressure in that game.
It was at home. I mean, you can't sit here and tell me that he's going to be a kicker that's going to be consistent all throughout the rest of the year when we made a couple kicks at home. What matters to me is turning red zone trips into points, and you know, with him kicking, I don't think we can do that. I don't care if it's from 20 yards. I don't care if it's from, you know, I'm just saying he has to kick those field goals. He has to make them, and I don't trust him anymore. And as far as I'm concerned, if I was the head coach of the Clemson Tigers, if I don't trust him, he's never going to kick another ball for me.
Let me tell you something right now, Joel. If Andy, I'm not very athletic for those of you that don't know who haven't seen me before.
Warming the bench.
Listen now, that's why we call our show Worming the Bench. If I practice field goals 4 to 8 hours a day. I mean, practice is 2-3 hours, summer more. They go to camps. If I practice kicking field goals every day of the year, essentially, I promise you that I would not miss a 27-yard field goal, and I'm not athletic.
We sit here, and obviously I've never been in a hostile environment to kick a field goal. We sit here and we say that, but I don't know, man. They say kickers are head cases. I agree with that. He was in Tallahassee.
You know what, man? You're on the big stage. You got to make big plays. This isn't NAIA. I mean, look, North of Greenville won on a 37-yard field goal. That's time expired last week.
Yeah.
If they can do that, we can get a kicker. Let me tell you something. Even Coach Schwinney said that today in practice he made a couple 27-yarders. But
he should have suited up then.
I'll tell you this. When it comes to kicking, like Coach Schwinney said, I think all options are on the table. We got a red shirt kicker.
Spence.
Yeah. We're going to have to pull the red shirt off of him. Go out to soccer team, hold tryouts, whatever it takes, man. We got to get a kicker because it's important. I mean, going into the overtime, pretty much anybody watching knew that Florida State was going to win the game just essentially because Clemson didn't have a field goal kicker. Bradley Pinion was warming up. If we would have elected to kick a field goal, it wasn't going to be LeKipp. It was going to be Pinion making the field goal. And if you watch that extra point that he kicked right after our last touchdown, it wasn't good because Pinion's not a field goal kicker. He's a punter. He was a punter in high school. He was recruited as a punter, one of the best in the country. Speaking of that, I think he was probably really one of the players of the game for Clemson. He gave Florida State bad field position every time.
Yeah.
I mean, he had some awesome punts.
When you pin Florida State deep in their own territory, allow that defense to pin their ears back and just go out there and sack McGuire. I was really impressed with the defense's just nastiness in that game. That whole time I was watching the game, I was pumped. I was ready to go. I was like, I looked at that defensive line and I said, there's no way that Florida State's offensive line is going to get good blocks on us. We just had that nasty factor in the whole game.
I'll tell you, you know, the other week Vic Beasley made the comment that he was better than Jadeveon Clowney. And some question that, but let me tell you right now, after watching that Florida State game, he was going up against a potential first-round draft pick for offensive lineman for Florida State, and he dominated them. Beasley had 2 sacks. He really proved the case that, you know, he probably may be better than Jadeveon Clowney, which is saying something. So, and, you know, Clemson's defense got pressure on McGuire the entire game, didn't make it easy for him. Like I said, if it weren't for that one mistake there late in the game by Mackenzie Alexander, Florida State would not have had very many yards in the air either. But that was about, 60 or 70-yard play. But, overall, it's encouraging, the game to me. The quarterback situation, let's talk about that a little bit. Going into the game, Cole Stout was a starter. Everyone had questioned Coach Sweeney and Coach Morris because it was obvious that Deshaun Watson was the best talent. I got a question, though. Third drive of the game, Watson's in. Fourth drive of the game, Watson's in, then the first quarter. Drives us down, has a good drive. I think that particular drive ended in a missed field goal. Next he comes in. Kirk Herbstreit says
he made the field goal.
That was the one made field goal out of the three we took. Kirk Herbstreit comes in the game, comes on the TV and says, I think we're going to see Deshaun Watson for the rest of the game. Maybe Herbstreit was privy to some information that I didn't know. But based on the previous sample size of the games that Clemson's played, I figured that, even though Deshaun led us to a scoring drive, that Cole Stout was going to come back in. Let me tell you what happened. And Joel, I want your opinion on this.
All right.
It was scripted.
The whole season?
I think the quarterback transition's been scripted. I think that before the season ever started, Dabo Swinney and Chad Morris knew that Deshaun Watson was going to be the starter for the North Carolina game. I think before the Florida State game ever happened, Chad Morris and Dabo Swinney knew that Deshaun Watson was going to get a majority of the snaps. I think it was scripted. I think he was eased into the role. I think he was in the Georgia game as a true freshman, his first ever game in a tough environment. He was given a couple opportunities to gain some experience. South Carolina State game, wanted to get Cole to play a good bit, knowing that he probably was not going to be the starter the rest of the year. Give him equal. They essentially had equal time in that game. Cole probably had a few more possessions, and then this game, I think maybe it was a test in the waters for the coaches. They were going to put Deshaun in early, see how he did on that first drive, and make the decision from there.
He definitely added a spark. He made a couple plays there with his legs. There was a play I thought was blown up in the backfield for a 5-6 yard loss, and he just rolls out, and that mobile quarterback, he just takes over and picks up that first down.
See, and I think the offensive line blocks better for Deshaun Watson. And the reason I think that is because he makes it easier for offensive linemen because he's able to roll out of the pocket. And
yeah.
I remember one particular play where he kept his eyes downfield. He was rolling. And most quarterbacks would have put their eyes down and just ran.
Yeah.
And tried to get as many yards as possible. Yeah. But Deshaun kept his eyes downfield and made the pass there to, I believe, Seckinger. And another thing that was funny. I heard that Kalon Davis said that he didn't realize till about midway through the second quarter that Deshaun was even in.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he was just in the zone the whole time. But the thing that scares me about mobile quarterbacks is when they roll out, they're going to be run first. That's what I like about Deshaun. If he rolls out, if the pocket breaks down, if there's pressure, he feels pressure, he moves, he's always keeping his eyes downfield the entire time, looking for an open receiver, and I admire that a lot in him.
One thing I like a lot about Deshaun Watson, and in my years of fandom of Clemson, I've never seen a quarterback like this. He makes throws that are just NFL caliber throws. they're throws that I don't see in college football.
Yeah.
When I first heard of Deshaun Watson, I figured, he's going to be a mobile quarterback, and he'll be a decent passer, but his game's going to be that scramble and whatever. No, he's a throw first quarterback. He has precision, accuracy. He zips the ball in there. He's got good vision downfield. He sees his receivers. I mean, he's an all-around athlete, and I think he's going to probably go down as the greatest quarterback to ever play at Clemson University.
Wow, that's a statement.
I'll make that statement from what I've seen. I mean, it's just amazing. I can't keep my eyes off the kid when he's playing football.
So if you're sitting here having your little man crush on Deshaun Watson, my question for you is this. Do you think there will be a growing period this season? You think that Deshaun's freshman just inexperience will come into play this season anytime?
Well, based on the schedule for the rest of the year, I mean, most of the tough games are out of the way, and I mean, I don't think Deshaun's going to have a lot of problems with teams like Syracuse and North Carolina.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a growing phase. I think he's going to go up. I think he's going to get better. He might make some mistakes. He might, you know, make, for example, in the Florida State game, there were a few mistakes he made as far as, you know, calling coverages, blocking schemes and whatnot.
The kid's calm, man. Like, you watch his press conference, he's just calm the whole time. Just
poised.
Yeah, just calm the whole time. I read some stuff about Chad Morris talking about Deshaun, and Chad said, if I could change one thing about Deshaun, it would be I would just give him a little bit of emotion every now and then. Like, you saw it yourself. When he rushed the ball in for that touchdown, was he excited? He just kind of looked like he picked his head up like he'd been there 100 times, get a ball to the referee and run back over the sideline. I wanted to see a little more emotion on him, and I agree with Chad Morris that a little emotion would be all right, but if it means that he's calm on the road and can stare down a number one team in the country and just man up and just be a great quarterback, then I guess I'll take that.
I'll put it this way. If I could have a quarterback that was either really calm or super extremely emotional, I'd rather have a calm quarterback. I'd rather have the collected one. I mean,
yeah.
He looks like he's been there 100 times, and I like that, man.
Yeah.
I like it. I wouldn't change it. I mean, I know Coach Morris wants him to be a little bit more of a vocal leader on the team. I mean, he's a true freshman. There's other players on this team that are seniors. As a quarterback, you're the natural leader, and Coach Morris, you know, said that he needs to speak a little louder, be a little more energetic, and leading the team. But I think that's one area he'll grow in this year. I think that...
The more he plays, the more big plays he makes, the more the team will get confidence in him, the more he'll be confident in himself, and he'll realize that, hey, I'm the leader, I need to step up, this is what's going on, I'm in charge. And I think he'll step in and grow into that role as he builds his own confidence.
I agree. And, you know, one thing he needs to, you know, Coach Morris said this after the game, and I don't know if this was a cop-out for Coach Morris or if this was true, but he said that Deshaun was not very good at taking snaps under center.
Yeah, I heard that Thursday in practice, he had some miscues taking snaps under center.
Let me ask you this question, Joel. If it's true that Deshaun Watson has trouble taking snaps under center, then why, four plays after the goal line play where the ball was snapped over Watson's head, I think it was two plays after that, he was under center.
Maybe they just didn't feel comfortable with him in that particular time. I mean, I don't know. I can't answer that. Only Coach Morris can.
Just logically. Let me ask you something, Joel. Logically. I know you're a smart guy. I know you are. All right. The ball is literally about 3 to 4 inches away from crossing the goal line.
Yeah.
Why the heck are you backing it up 6 feet? That's just stupid if you ask me.
Well, I think it's stupid that Dabo didn't challenge the play before. CJ Davis was in there. Challenge the play. There's a touchdown. You don't have to worry about the botched snap. You don't have to worry about rushing the ball in from the shotgun. All you got to do is just challenge the play. We get a touchdown. We probably win that football game.
I understand, but also I don't know if I can blame that on Dabo because he can't really – we had the gift to be able to see it on TV. I mean, Dabo's on the sideline. He don't know if that ball crossed the plane or not. I mean, maybe somebody's
He's got guys up in the booth with you telling him that, man. It's coaching staff, not just a head coach.
You're right. But that was definitely a touchdown, and, man, that would have sealed the deal for sure.
Yeah.
Just a bummer. So, I mean, I still don't know how Clemson lost that game.
Like Dabo said, though, it doesn't count as a half a loss. It doesn't count as two losses. It counts as a loss. I'm ready to put it behind me and look at the rest of the year, though.
Man, you sound like a cheerleader over there. I'm still pissed. I mean, I'm mad about it. I wake up every morning just angry about that football game. Clemson should have won the game, man. I mean, so many opportunities. It's happened time after time for Clemson football, and I'm ready for us to put that tie behind us. Florida State's the number one team in the country. They're a good football team. They're not as good as everybody thinks they are, but they're good.
Dabo's 5 out of 10 comment might actually be true this year.
Yeah. I think it's probably more like 7 out of 10 this year.
Wow.
Even with Jameis in the game.
And I'm the cheerleader.
No, I'm just saying. I really think that Clemson's a better football team than Florida State, defensively, etc. Well, I think we've harped on it enough. I'm still mad. Kind of got some of my feelings out.
Ready to put it behind me.
Let's talk about the game against North Carolina. 7 p.m. kickoff in Death Valley. Important game for the Tigers, just a rebound.
But apparently it's not an important game for the Tar Heels. In the press conference earlier today, their head coach Larry Fedora said that he didn't even know that Deshaun Watson was named starter.
Well, you know, I think that's pretty ignorant on his part, but I don't blame him. I mean, if I had gotten 70 points hung on my team from East Carolina, I'd probably still be living in a cave somewhere myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know,
You think we're hurting? I bet North Carolina's hurting.
Oh, you know they're hurting. That's an embarrassment for your program. I mean, you came in the season ranked in the top 25, had high expectations, and then get 70 dropped on you by East Carolina. Yeah. Got to be demoralizing.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about North Carolina. Their quarterback, Marquise Williams, the dual-threat quarterback, he's obviously leads their team in passing yards, but he also leads their team in rushing yards, which is interesting to me.
Wow.
Yeah, he's the number one rusher.
Do they even have a running back?
Yeah, they do have a running back, but the running back with the most yards has zero touchdowns.
Wow.
Yeah, T.J. Logan has 117 yards on the year, zero touchdowns. But that's because they have a power back, Ramar Morris, who gets the brunt of the goal line carries. He has his three touchdowns. Mm. But let me tell you, for North Carolina to be successful this year, and I'm just waiting for Larry Fedora to get his head in the game, they're going to have to play Elijah Hood as their number one running back. Yeah. The kid's an amazing talent. I mean, I really wish we would have got him at Clemson. He's a true freshman, but he's awesome. He's amazing. They need to play him. He is getting some carries, kind of splitting the time with T.J. Logan, but he needs to be the number one.
I think that when I see this North Carolina team, I see a lot of similarities to Clemson a couple years ago. Their defense used to be good. That was when they were still paying players. But right. After they stopped paying their defensive players, they haven't had that dominant defense since. And so they've gotten into these shootout games. And just like Clemson a couple years ago proved that it's hard to win all the games when you're in shootout games. So I think North Carolina is a couple steps behind Clemson in that, you know.
Well, I think the big difference, like you said, in this game is going to be the defense. I think North Carolina has the firepower on offense, but I just don't think they have it on defense. I think Deshaun Watson and Clemson are going to impose their will on the South Carolina defense. And I think, quite frankly, North Carolina is not going to be able to keep up. You know, if our defense is able to get some penetration like they did against Florida State, I think Marquise Williams is going to have a hard time handling that. You know, he hasn't had a great year. Four touchdowns, three interceptions. He's shown that, yeah, he can elude some pressure, but when he's forced to throw in under pressure situation, he's not making the smartest choices. So I think that, you know, if that's going to be the key to the game for Clemson, is getting pressure on Marquise Williams and, you know, forcing him to make those throws that he's not been able to make this year, quite frankly.
I think my key to the game would be just to see that continued nastiness out of our defense. You know, like you said, if we can get pressure on Williams, then I think we'll be in a good position to win the game by a lot.
And, you know, talking about field goal kickers, North Carolina has a very solid field goal kicker who can make the mid-range field goals, Nick Weiler. He's 3-for-3 on his field goals.
Are there trades in college football? Because that's what I want to do. I want to trade for a kicker.
Yeah, we need a trade. I wish this was like fantasy. Well, Nick Weiler from North Carolina, he's 3-for-3 on his field goals, but all those were within 30 yards. They have a long kicker, Thomas Moore, but he's 0-for-2 between 40 and 49. So North Carolina has a good mid-range field goal game, which is something Clemson hasn't been able to establish. So I think in the special teams area, North Carolina has the advantage, but when it comes to offense and defense, I think Clemson's going to be able to impose their will against this North Carolina team. Yeah. They're on their heels after this game, demoralizing loss. So I'm going to go and give a prediction. I think Clemson's going to win this game 48-20.
48-20. You think that we let them score 20 points on us?
Wow. I think they'll score 20 points just simply because of the Marquise Williams being a dual-threat quarterback. We haven't really had to defend the run this year from the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And I think that's proven to be a challenge for under Brent Venables, and so we'll see how that goes. But I think that just simply because of the running ability of Marquise Williams, we're gonna have a little bit of a difficult time stopping that. But I still think that Clemson will impose their will in the game.
I understand, but for me, being back home in the Valley, coming off that loss to Florida State, our team's mad. Our team wants to have something to prove, and we're gonna embarrass North Carolina. We're going to make them just regret playing us after we played Florida State. I think that we come out, we dominate both sides of the ball, and I think that Clemson hangs 51 on them. I think we're going to be 51-17.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I want to tell you something funny, Joel.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm surfing the internets here recently.
The internets?
The internets,
all right,
you know.
All right, yeah.
Looking at the different Twitters and chat boards and whatnot.
Yeah.
And after the game Saturday night, some people said that Coach Sweeney and Coach Morris need to be fired.
That's the most hilarious thing I've ever heard.
And literally, I just sat, like, looked at my computer in awe. I mean, where do these people come from?
Well, I mean, you got people, I guess, out there that I don't even know. I can't make an excuse for them. I'm trying, but I can't.
Well, I think they don't realize that Dabo Swinney has brought Clemson's program back into national spotlight.
Yeah.
Something that Tommy Bowden was never able to do.
Yeah.
Something that Ken Hatfield was never able to do since the Danny Ford era. It's not been done.
I think as fans, we naturally don't understand the nuances of head coaching, and I think we just want to skip from a 6-7 season to winning the national championship. We don't understand what it takes to build a program, and I think Dabo's doing a good job of building our program.
Absolutely.
I think hiring Chad Morris, hiring Brent Venables, I think that those additions and the way that we've built, just we've established a system here, and I think that the more as time and time goes by, you'll see us start to win these big games. I know that Dabo said in 2012, after we beat LSU, he said we're a national title contender. I understand Dabo said that, but I think realistically, it's still going to take us a couple more years. We've got a great foundation. Adam Choice, Artavis Scott, Deshaun Watson. Our foundation is and our future looks so bright. And I think that we, as fans, I know it's weird to say, and I know it's weird talking to like two fans as fans, but we need to take a more realistic view of this and see that Dabo's doing a good job of building this program, and we're not there yet. We are not the Alabamas and the Florida States of the world, but we are daggum close.
Yeah,
and I think that in the next 2 years, we'll get over that hump. We'll win these big-time games, prime time, national television, and I think you'll see the Clemson Tigers win a national championship in the next 5 years.
Wow, bold prediction. I agree. I think Dabo is a great manager. I think he knows how to delegate. We've created an identity at Clemson. Clemson's been able to show that they have an identity
other than Clemsoning.
Right. Other than Clemsoning. I don't even want to talk about that word. Yeah, I think Clemson's been able to build an identity under Chad Morris. I think Dabo's been awesome at recruiting. Jeff Scott's been lead recruiter, awesome, doing a good job. I think under Morris and Venables, we've really grown as a program, and I think Coach Sweeney has done a tremendous job, and I think anyone who is calling for his head is out of touch with the game. And
I agree.
Well, it's been great to be with you today to discuss this game, and we look forward to coming back next week talking about the North Carolina game, maybe talking about a few other sports items besides college football, and we've enjoyed it. Have a great week.